Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
216-474-992. Got some people who want to jump in on the Deshaun conversation and the fact he's going to play that third preseason game. Will that, plus the joint practices, will you feel comfortable with where he's at leading up to the season, knowing he's going to get some good reps in this weekend in that third preseason game, start at least starting it out and get a couple series potentially? We go to the phones. Drake in Cleveland, you're up next.
How are you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I was just hearing you talk about Deshaun and everything. I noticed you never say anything positive. Like, do we do anything positive when you watch him?
Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, like, you made sure you threw in that he threw a long, incomplete pass, but you ain't tell us what else happened throughout the course of the day. That's the only thing you seen was an incomplete pass?
Well, that really was the only thing I saw because of where we're positioned. But, no, I mean, if you jump on my Twitter feed, I share the good and the bad from practice. Most days, that's the case.
I wanted to ask you one question. Like, I'm lost at why we keep the stats in practice when you don't know what they're working on. The coach could literally tell them to try a drop pass to the end zone. You see you turn to the left and see a drop pass, and you're like, oh, it was incomplete. But you don't know what they're working on. So how can you comment off what the statistics is in practice? We're not hearing about Joe Burrow. We're not hearing about Dak Prescott. We're not hearing about anybody else but Deshaun Watson. All negatives. Everybody else can just go and live off their laurels. But y'all make sure y'all report every little thing. And you don't even know what they're working on. But you reporting that he.
We don't hear about Joe Burrow here because we're not covering Bengals camp. But what I'll say is I'm not the person who's like sitting there recording every little throw and every little thing that Deshaun does. I usually just take the I take a lot of video of what's going on at practice, share those, and let people interpret it what they will. All I said was in that moment when I was talking, there was an overthrow that Deshaun had. Maybe it was a bad route. Maybe the receiver didn't run the right thing. I didn't say anything other than the fact that he overthrew somebody or there was an incomplete pass that was almost an interception. But I do think it's notable that Deshaun's thrown an interception on a number of the days that he's been out here that has been some version of an interception, whether it's on him or whether it's a miscommunication, because that stuff does matter. But I haven't just sat here and only ripped on the bad from Deshaun. Like, there's been some good stuff too. He had that really good pass to Cedric Tillman last week on a touchdown pass. That was like 45 yards. That was good.
Practice is to work on things.
For sure. I'm not disputing that.
The media, like, that's my point. The point is just that in the context of you seeing him overthrow, maybe he caught the middle and the ball might be on time, but maybe the receiver ran a bad route that made it on time.
That's what I just said, Drake. I just said that. Again, okay. I'm not going to sit here and debate the semantics of one throw at practice that, again, I said I didn't know the whole context of the situation. I'm not standing watching practice in detail right now because I'm doing a radio show. But I that was the one thing I noticed from when I looked over was that he had an overthrow. That doesn't mean I'm like ragging on Deshaun. I give Deshaun a fair shake to do his job and do it well and come out here and practice and play and do the right things. And I analyze it as I see it. Right now, all we have is practice footage and reps. I'm not sitting here breaking down every little thing. I generally preface any conversation from practice, by the way, with the concept of it's just training camp, it's just practice. We can't really divulge much of anything from anything that we're seeing today about any player. There's certain levels of things that we can dissect, and there's a lot that's still unknown and remains unknown, and we won't know until we actually see him in a game setting. All I said was that there was one play where I saw him overthrow a guy. That's it. I'm not trying to tell anybody to decipher anything one way or another about Deshaun or about any player from what we saw at practice, and I would do that with any team. If I was covering the Bengals, I would say the same thing. Like, it is at the end of the day practice. Let's go back to the phones. We got Joe up next in the fan. What's up, Joe?
Well, I just wanted to say two things. I want to say, of course, we'd all like to see more of Deshaun in the preseason, and it just doesn't matter to us. I mean, they do what they want to do, but it drives us crazy. And you want to throw something at the television during the first two or three games when the television announcers or Jimmy Donovan on the radio says, well, Deshaun and the receivers have to get on the same page, and maybe they'll do that as the season goes along. You go crazy because they should be working on that in preseason games and, of course, in practice. But that's what's going to happen.
Real quick, Joe, I was going to say that's a really good point because, like, we talk about what they are working on in practice, what they're not working on in practice, you know, good or bad, good, the bad, the ugly. But that is the type of stuff that you're hoping they iron out at this time, right? Like, lead up to the season. They should be on the same page with a lot of things. There shouldn't be a lot of miscommunications. They should know where they're going to be. So, yeah, like, I think that's a really good point by you.
That will come up, of course, and there's nothing the fans can do about it. The other thing with regard to Chris Ronayne, I'm an old-time fan, and I want that dome stadium. It's time for Cleveland to get in the present time. And if Ronayne brings up that there's a tradition down there, that's a lot of craziness because they got the worst record in the NFL since 2000, the worst record in 24, 25 years. And then if he says the people want to be out in the elements, that's nuts. The Browns rarely win when it's a cold, snowy day. I mean, maybe the last time was the 64 championship game, and most of the Colts were partying the night before, but they lost in 68 in the cold weather to the Colts, the Denver Broncos, the Oakland Raiders a few years ago to the Oakland Saints. That's a lot of baloney. We need that dome stadium.
Joe, I appreciate the call. I tend to agree with you. That was part of why I led into that with Juan Thornhill about just the weather and the elements. And I think it's one of the biggest lies fans have ever been told, that the elements are some sort of advantage for a team. Like, both those teams have to play in that. And if it's uncomfortably cold and your hands are frozen solid, that ain't fun for anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're used to the cold or not. That sucks. Ron in Cleveland, you got about a minute here. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you, Screener, and thank you for taking my call, Spencer.
Real quick,
as I was telling your Screeners, if I was the Haslams, I would have been really insulted for the city to come back and offer me $400-something million for a 30-year lease. That stadium is already in the billions of work and stuff that need to be done. What the city's offering to do, to cut the grass and trim the hedges for 30 years? I mean, that's ridiculous. And I'm a resident of Cleveland or whatever. I mean, if that was the plan, to trim the hedges and cut the grass, okay, we can do that. But it's time for the politicians, the leaders of Cleveland, to have a vision and have faith to step out and do something new for this city. That's what the city of Cleveland needs.
Ron, that's a really good call and a really good point by you. I got to let you go because we got to go to break here in just a second. But I'll say this off of what Ron just said. It does feel like to this point, the Haslams have been more on the defensive and they've been kind of playing it real close to the vest and, you know, not making any rash decisions. It's a war of words, but the more harsher, severe words seem to be coming from city and county officials. They seem to be the ones who are, like, really bucking against things and rallying against the Haslams and the plan that they've sort of laid out here. The Haslams have been very much like, we're trying to coordinate with everybody. We're trying to, you know, we're going through they've done everything right, it feels like, to this point. And that's just something I don't know about, where they've gone through the right channels, they've talked to the right people. I don't know why there's this staunchly aggressive sort of tone to everything that the city and the county does, where they're invoking the Art Modell, you know, rule or law. And it's just like, guys, like, you didn't have to do all this. Like, can't we all just kind of, isn't that the point of politics? We all come together and agree on things. I guess that's kind of gone to the wayside in 2024. But it's just, it's all very frustrating, and I do think there's a lack of vision here on some level. Well, we'll find out about that lack of vision, or maybe if there is a bigger vision for the county and the city here momentarily. Chris Ronayne, county executive for Cuyahoga County, going to join us here. Daryl's going to jump on. We'll ask him a bunch of questions. We had a whole list. Daryl just ran it by me. We're going to grill him the best we can and get to the bottom of kind of what's going on between the two sides when we get back. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German with you. Afternoon Drive here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.